12:25 a.m. local time. That means it's 19:30 where you live in UTC. My name is Tobe. I'm sitting here with Hello Kitty. Hello. And what are we doing today? Well, I'm just sitting here reading an FTP man page. I had to FTP some stuff yesterday. And I hadn't done that in a while, well over 20 years, and so I had some problems. I was really close to begin with, but of course you leave out one little thing here or one little thing there, or you have a typo in your file name, and of course then everything doesn't work. So, but the good news is I figured it all out, so I win. And so now I'm trying to relearn FTP in case I have to do this again in the future. And I probably will. The thing of it is, though, how much do I really need to know? I mean, once I sort of get into it, a lot of it comes back to me. So I don't know how much I really need to learn or remember here, but, you know, it sure doesn't do any harm. In food news, you might be glad to hear that I ate a hamburger today. I couldn't stand it anymore. I haven't had a hamburger in almost 2 weeks, or possibly exactly 2 weeks. Ugh, couldn't stand it. Had to get some beef in me. So, I went out and I ate a hamburger. It was a pretty good hamburger. I really liked that hamburger. And I also ate some pickles, and I actually even ate some French fries. Not very many, but about half a potato's worth, a large potato. This place, they cut their own and they make their own, and they're pretty good. This little neighborhood bar that I like to eat these hamburgers in also has keno. I don't know if you're familiar with keno, but it is a gambling game in which you can pick any number of numbers, any quantity of numbers between 1 and 20 that range from 1 to 80. And if these numbers are drawn, you win money. Now, I don't normally play this game because it doesn't pay off truly. And you're not going to find any gambling games that pay off in a true manner if these games are being played in a casino or are otherwise governed by the state or whoever. But I do like to watch the screen because you know how much I love to see random numbers come up. So I like to eat and watch random numbers and whatever else they got on the TVs. This is ostensibly a sports bar, and so you can go in there, they got 10 million TVs, and you can watch the race or the games or whatever it is you want to watch while you're eating, drinking, and playing keno. Well, regardless, even though I don't myself play keno, I am going to give you some numbers to play. The next time you're in a keno place, a keno hall, or a bar that has keno or whatever, you can play these numbers. And these numbers will be randomly selected by my magic keno dice. I've got some of these dice that are marked very strangely, and they're called Happy Lotto Game Dice. And I don't remember where I got these. I think I got these from a surplus catalog, if memory serves. And you can use these dice to randomly choose numbers for playing keno or any type of lottery game. And that's what we're going to do today. Maybe this will become a regular feature on Dubious Goals Committee. I will select a bet for you randomly. Okay, let's pick your numbers. You might want to get a pen or a pencil and write this down. The first thing we're going to do is roll a regular die to see how many numbers we're actually going to pick here. So, here we go. Rolling the die. And we get a 3. So this is going to be a 3-number game. Mark your tickets for playing 3 numbers. And I will now randomly select out of this bag three dice at random. These are the magic lottery dice. All right. I've got one, two, and three. We're going to roll these one at a time. Your first number is 36. That's 3-6. Your second number is... Whoop, that one got away from me. Second number is 41. 4-1. And your third and last number is 25. There you go. Your lucky lottery and or keno numbers for today are 36, 41, and 25. Make sure you mark your tickets accurately and check them before turning them into your writer. And if you win over $100, send me 1% so I can go buy another hamburger. If you need more random numbers for lottery or keno, feel free to get a hold of me and I will pray to the God of random numbers and get some numbers from him or her. If I ever go to Las Vegas, you can be sure I will take all of these magic dice with me. Although it's pretty unlikely that I'll ever go to Las Vegas. There really isn't anything there for me. Well, I take that back. I mean, obviously, they have the USA Sevens tournament in Las Vegas. Oh, and the Monster Jam Finals are in Las Vegas. I would go to that, I suppose. And what else is in Las Vegas? Oh, they've got a nice pinball museum there. And I would definitely go to check that out. You know, I can spend a lot of time in pinball museums. Now, I know you're wondering, really? There's more than one pinball museum in this world? Yeah, there's quite a few, actually. There's that great one in Las Vegas, which is pretty big. And they've got 100 or more machines. But there's a funkier, littler one in a cooler place. And, of course, I'm referring to Lions Classic Pinball. Lions Classic Pinball is in the small town of Lyons, Colorado, which is, maybe 20 miles outside of Boulder. I think it's a little north of Boulder, but don't quote me on that. I don't drive around in that area very much, so I don't know which direction it is, but I know it's close enough to Boulder and Denver, Colorado, for that matter, that... It's definitely worth the drive. You can get there in 15 or 20 minutes, and the little town itself of Lyons is pretty cool. They got a great skate park. There's this creek slash river that runs down the middle of it, and there's some decent food there too. But the whole reason to go there is a little place called Lyons Classic Pinball, and it's this small arcade that is nothing but pinball machines. And pinball machines from eras throughout history. So there's some real old ones, and there's some steppers, and then there's modern ones. It's great. It's a fun place to go. I really love old stepper type of pinball machines. I love the sound they make. You know, modern pinball machines with digital displays, and they're mostly just computer stuff, they don't make the same sounds as old pinball machines. New pinball machines, just the flippers make some sounds, and if there's anything that moves on the table, then maybe you'll get a sound out of it. But these are not natural sounds. These are, you know, then computerized sounds. But with old pinball machines, the one with steppers, they breathe, they live, they go ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk. They have soul, they have personality. The last time I was at Lyons Classic Pinball, I played I think it's a bally machine called Tommy, you know, and it's got the Who theme, right? And the funny thing was, is while I was playing it, the song Pinball Wizard came on the radio over the PA in the place, and I was like, wow, this is ominous. This is a sign. And I happened to, when that game was over, although I did not get a high enough score to earn a free game, I won a free game via the match function. So I was like, woohoo, lucky. The other great thing about Lions Pinball, Lions Classic Pinball, is they have a Hercules machine there. And this is an oversized pinball machine. It's four times the size of a regular pinball machine, hence the name Hercules. It's giant, right? And the funny part about it is it actually came from Omaha. How do I know this? Well, on pinball machines, there are old tax stamps. A lot of jurisdictions back in the day taxed pinball machines as entertainment devices, and you have to have a little tax sticker on it. Well, there was three tax stickers on it from like 77 through 79, 1977 through 1979, and they were marked Omaha. And I laughed because I had played this machine before as a child. This was in an arcade downtown in Omaha called Gizmo's in the Old Market tourist area. And it was a pretty popular machine back in the day. And well, I guess when Gizmo's closed, somehow that pinball machine made it 500 miles west to Lions Classic Pinball. So I have a strange little connection to this place. And nowadays, I have a friend who moved out into that area. He moved out there about a year ago, and I told him, be sure, and he's a pinball nut. Ever since we were kids, I've known this guy forever. This would be Booper I'm speaking of. I've known this guy for many decades, and ever since we were little kids, he's been a pinball freak, just a complete nut. And I told him, yeah, be sure to go to Lions Classic Pinball while you're out there. And yes, he does make regular visits to the place, and I usually get an email from him the day that I do. Just got back from Lions Pinball. That place is awesome. I was playing blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. That's so great. And that's when I say to him, yes, it is a great place. I really need to get out to Colorado again. I've got a bunch of family members out there that I haven't seen in 5 or 6 years, so it's probably time for me to make a pilgrimage to Colorado, and that way I can see my family, see my friends, and play pinball at Lions Classic Pinball. I love that place. Well, while you're busy looking up Lions Classic Pinball on the web, I'm going to go make some more tea, and you can also listen to this.
I hate you all so much.
No one cares, Figgis. You're only invited to round out the numbers.
A ham toast.
to have!
Yeah!
What are you doing from the left, dear? One serves from the left.
Whatever's gotten into you, Calpurnia?
My mistake, ma'am.
Well, I should say it is Calpurnia. Mother, your maid is... Oh, hello.
Evening. Sorry to disturb your,
elegant dinner party for the most elegant people in all of New York.
Hey, maybe you should try the ham, Axe Cop. They say change is good. I know ham is good.
Don't be so gloomy. After all, it's not that awful. But what the fella said, mentally, for 30 years under the Borgias, they had warfare, terror, murder, and bloodshed, but they produced Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, and the Renaissance. In Switzerland, they had brotherly love. They had 500 years of democracy and peace, and what did that produce? The cuckoo clock. So long, Colin.
Hello and welcome back. You're listening to Anon Radio. This is the Dubious Goals Committee, and my name is Tobe. I'm your chairman. Oh, I've been playing some of my video game today. I haven't played in months. I haven't played since I got my new TV. And the game I play is called Yu-Gi-Oh! Capsule Monster Coliseum. It is not the Yu-Gi-Oh! Card game. It is a game that's mentioned in the comics, but isn't an actual game. Well, it wasn't until they made a video game version of it. In the comic book, it's a game you play in real life. It's a tabletop game. You got these little pieces that are monsters, and the monsters fight. It's kind of like chess. Everything moves around on a grid. And I like to play the video game version of it. It's fun. I like to smash stuff. I like to run around with my dragons and smash stuff. It's fun. And this runs on a PlayStation. Not the original PlayStation, but a PS2, I think it is. I don't know anything about it. I don't even know why I have one of these things. Actually, I do. Booper one day said, "Hey, you want to buy my old PlayStation for $20? And I said, "Sure." And this was years ago. And I thought, okay, you know, I'll just root it and I'll put Unix on it and I'll use it as something else, right? Well, I never got around to doing this. And I just had this thing sitting around for a couple of years until this video game came out. When the video game came out, I thought, wait, I got something that'll run on. I ran out and I bought it. It's the only video game I've ever bought in my entire life. And I've been playing it for years. I even wore out one copy of it, and I had to buy another one, used. And it's fun. And I've never had it hooked up to my new TV until, well, technically last night. I hooked it up last night. And it looks great, although a little fuzzy because the old PS2 is not high def, but it still looks great on my big ol' TV. I love my TV. It's the coolest thing ever. And now the big question is this tea too hot to drink? I did put it in the microwave for a minute and a half while we were at the break there, and whew. It's pretty steamy. Steam is just rolling off the top. I'm kind of afraid to take a sip, but we're gonna do it anyway. Here we go. Oh yeah, it's way too hot to drink. But we'll take another sip anyway. Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna put that down for a minute because that has the potential to burn my tongue something fierce. And suddenly I'm hungry for Jell-O. You know, that can wait. I've got the window open. It's a moderately warm day. I'll have to close this window when the sun goes down, but I've got it open about an inch or two just to let in some fresh air. And I can hear some thump, thump, thump outside, and that tells me that the kids that live behind me are outside playing football. They've got a goal. It's not exactly a regulation size goal, but it is a fairly large goal. And they set it up in their backyard and they practice taking penalty kicks and various other shots on goal. And I can hear him connecting with that ball. Boom. And then the ball hits the net and the goal, and it rattles up against the chain link fence. Speaking of rattling, guess what I watched last night? Or I guess technically speaking, it was early Sunday morning. I watched the Australian Grand Prix. It was the first race for the F1 series this year, so I was pretty excited about that. And it was very exciting at the beginning because Lewis Hamilton, my cat's favorite driver, was in the pole position. But I don't know if he spun the tires or didn't get the clutch out right or what, but he did not get moving, and the two Ferraris managed to zip, 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 go right around him. And he was chasing them for the rest of the race. Well, not really. He dropped back into sixth place, and the Ferraris eventually... Oh, what's the word I'm looking for? They attritioned out, and Lewis Hamilton managed to get back up into second place towards the end of the race and came in second to his own teammate. So that was great. My guy, Valtteri Bottas, he came in, I think, eighth. So my cat beat me by six places. So now my cat has 6 points in our fantasy F1 league that we run here in my house. Her favorite driver is Lewis Hamilton, not because he's the three-time reigning champion and the best driver in years. She just likes him because his last name is Ham. So, go figure. Yeah, Saturday, we got into an argument over who was going to win in the Chelsea versus West Ham game. Of course, I picked Chelsea, and of course, Pippa picked West Ham. West Ham got out in front and was leading, and it looked like they were going to win 2-1 right up until the last minute, literally the 90th minute. There's only 90 minutes in a game, so literally the last minute. West Ham did something stupid, and Chelsea got a penalty kick, which they converted, and the game ended in a 2-2 draw. So, she didn't beat me. And you know what I did yesterday? I saw the movie Flash Gordon. That's right, the 1980 Dino De Laurentiis production of Flash Gordon. Oh, it's so awesome. I haven't seen it in a while. I loved that movie as a kid just because it was so cheesy, but it was so great. And there's so many funny people in it. Max von Sydow as Ming, and Topol as Hans Zarkov. But the interesting thing is the other people who are in it, sort of the side people. Prince Baron is played by Timothy Dalton, and that might be Timothy Dalton's first movie. I'm not sure. Deep Roy is in it. He doesn't have a speaking part, does he ever? But there's a couple obvious shots of him. Kenny Baker is in it. Again, you won't recognize him because he's very heavily costumed. But the most interesting character in it for me, the very most interestingest character, is the character of Fico. Fico is Prince Baron's right-hand man. And the part is played by an actor by the name of Richard O'Brien. Now, you might be asking, well, who's Richard O'Brien? And why are you so into it? Well, Richard O'Brien, today, I was going to say he's most known for this, but you know, it's not true. This guy, today, he does work, and he is the voice of Phineas and Ferb's father. So if you've ever seen the show Phineas and Ferb on the Disney Channel, Richard O'Brien voices their dad, and it's pretty funny. But the thing that he's most famous for, and the thing that I worship the guy for, is Richard O'Brien is the man who wrote the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Okay, so if you've ever seen that movie, or if you've been lucky enough to ever see it on stage, yeah, this is the guy. He wrote that. And if you've ever seen the movie Rocky Horror Picture Show, he is the guy who plays Riff Raff. And I'm a huge Rocky Horror fan, and I, by extension, am a huge Riff Raff fan. And so when I first saw Phineas and Ferb, I was like, ah, Riff Raff is the voice of Phineas and Ferb's dad. That's hilarious. But yes, the best part about it is he is Fico, Prince Baron's right-hand man, and Fico only has like 3 lines in the whole movie, but you still get to see him, and it's really obviously him because he talks like Riff, he walks like Riff, and if you listen carefully, you can kind of hear the voice of Phineas and Ferb's dad. And that's my favorite part of Flash Gordon, the fact that Richard O'Brien has this small, dorky role. And I can't even tell you what other movies Richard O'Brien has been in other than movies he's written. I know he was in Rocky Horror, and he was in Rocky Horror's sequel, Shock Treatment. Other than that, Flash Gordon might be his only other movie. Don't quote me on that. Go ahead and check IMDb. Oh, but I love the guy. My other favorite part of the movie is when the little flying eye robot thingy says, "Halt, Lizard Man," and then shoots him. That's awesome. Flash Gordon is the spangliest of all eye candy comic book movies. If you're tired of, you know, comic book movies today that are supposed to be, you know, hyper-realistic, you might want to watch Flash Gordon, because this is a movie that they took out of comic books, but they kind of wanted to leave it comic booky. I don't know if you ever saw Dick Tracy with Warren Beatty and Madonna back in, what was it, the late 80s or early 90s? They thought they were the first to make a comic book movie that looked like a comic book, and not even close. Flash Gordon came out almost a decade before that, and it's all sequins and colorful lights and ridiculous costumes. It's a beautiful thing to look at. It's all eye candy, and there's no computer generated anything. So all the sets are actual sets. There's nothing standing in front of a green screen. There's nobody doing nothing. There's no CGI whatsoever. It's all practical. It's all models and chroma key and some cheesy stuff. So if you like cheese, I highly recommend seeing Flash Gordon by Dino De Laurentiis. And if that name sounds familiar, if you've ever seen Cooking with Giada at Home or any show with Giada De Laurentiis, Dino is her uncle. And I'd like to sit here and tell you more about all the interesting tie-ins to some of my favorite movies, but I notice that the clock is inching ever so closer to 2000 hours UTC, which means that my time here is up. You've been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, starring me. My name's Tobe, and this show airs every day at 1930 UTC, so tune in tomorrow. I've only got one more thing to say. You know what it is. Bye, 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 bye,
this is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.
Interesting. And of course, NX1s are very interesting in themselves as well. Now that I've had